Blog Talk Radio.
Young man, 35 riders.
That's why I run. Will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost. Yeah, and we get some more. Can't be broke. That's why I run. I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing. Came from nothing. Now I'm shining in the sun like it's nuts. Why I run?
The sun, rain, sleet, snow. I grind when it's jumping, even when the street's slow. Young Maine, that's the name that the streets know. I'm pushing X, wet, pills, crack, weed, blow. Monday to Sunday, not a day off. One day, all this hard work gon' pay off. I gotta get it, I'm on it soon as I wake up. Block hot, so I'm pumping it out of trailer. All the trash, we keep pissing off the neighbors. But fuck the laws, cause right now I need this paper. My rent late, my lights off, no water. My shoes old, my clothes dirty, no quarters. My car broke, I gotta walk, plus gas. I in the world wanna ask why. I ain't got shit, nigga, that's why. That's why I'm motherfucking.
That's why I run. Will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost.
Yeah,
I ain't going get some more. Can't be broke.
That's why I run.
I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing. Came from nothing. Now I'm shining in the sun like it's nuts.
That's why I run.
Will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost.
Yeah,
I ain't going get some more. Can't be broke.
That's why I run.
I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing. Came from nothing.
Remember back when I ain't have no money. Now I walk inside the mall and just blow money. We used to hit the club broke, man, with nothing on us. Now we known and get love from the club owners. She was in love with me, or I guess I thought she was. Thought she was bad, but wasn't bad as I thought she was. Welcome to Maine's world, where every day's Friday. Menage days with bitches that resemble Beyonce. Used to smoke dirt weed, now it's Kush only. Grind hard, hustle hard, push, homie. Back then, I ain't have a ride to the stove. Okay, it's cool, cause now my ride on 84. I had nothing, so I jumped up in the crack game. Kept hustling, and I jumped up in the rap game. Young man can't stop, won't stop, did it. Ask about me, they'll tell you who run it.
Will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost.
Yeah,
I ain't gonna get some more. Can't be broke.
That's why
I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing. Kept hustling, now I'm shining. I'm nothing like it's nuts.
That's why
I run. Will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost.
Yeah,
I ain't gonna get some more. Can't be broke.
That's why
I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing. Kept hustling, now I'm shining. I'm nothing like it's nuts.
Why
I run.
I'm a motherfucking hustler for real, homie. I get it on the block, on the highway, on probation, on parole, fresh out. I don't give a fuck. I gotta get it, know what I'm saying? If you broke, struggling, you ain't got shit. Hustle, legal or illegal, we gon' get it, man. All my female hustlers getting on their own. Hustle.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome to all the listeners and micers out there. It's the Cut on T14 Radio. Goes down every Wednesday evening, 5 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Central, and 8 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm your host, Onyx, and I got the co-host, Tyrone and Golden. What's good?
What's happening, world?
Yo, 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 what's good? Another Wednesday. We in this piece.
Another Wednesday. Back at it again. Shout out to everybody that's tuning in. Their first time checking in with us, I want you to make sure that you check out global14.com, which is a social networking site of Jermaine Dupri. Get there and create your account today. You'll be glad that you did. Lots of networking tools and interaction and groups for you to join and get involved in. Tonight, mixtapes, heavy news, Tupac, the shooting, all of that's been admitted to. Esther dropped his album. We're going to check out those numbers in a minute. Kid Daytona, Crispy, East Coast and West Coast tonight joining us, linking up, and then BET Awards this weekend, huge weekend in music every year, BET Awards. So, nice little night in a nutshell coming up.
Oh, man, this is about to get crazy out there. You know how them award shows be looking real interesting to seeing what's going down.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, gonna, you know, they give it up in L.A., man. I'm still contemplating whether I should take a quick flight out there for real, man. It's going down out there, man. I missed it last year, and I was supposed to go, man. I still might try to make it out there for real. They get it in when it's a war weekend, so shout out to everybody headed to L.A. I've been seeing all the tweets and Instagrams.
Absolutely. I was thinking about joining you, but I don't see that.
I am smoked on that gas. Life should be on Cinemax. Movie, bought my boo. Bigger than a bigger air. Who he's not I. I smoke strong that pie pie. Louis V's in my archive. Black diamonds are part-time. Bread up in my top down. On the block with a block out. Hit your ass with that block out. Doping up to go in your nostril. I take your girl and kidnap her. Feed her to my mattress. The skeleton in my closet. It's probably when he's dead and rapper. He's probably when he don't try me, I'll pour that fire. Got your car note in my car, cool. And your rent in my swisher. So good, I miss you. Game so vicious. And all I get is cheese, yeah. Like I'm taking pictures.
Yeah. I say, girl, unless I'm with you. If I take you out of the picture, I know real won't miss you. No lie, yeah, yeah. And I say, damn, that makes two of us.
Damn.
All that look like, what's the name? Chances are it is, what's the name? Chances are if she was acting up, then I the ones and never again. She could have a Grammy, I still treat her like a nominee. Just need to know what that push like, so one time it's fine with me.
Yeah.
Young ass, an intern. For money like I built you. Streets talking, that confirmed. Go ask them who just catch you. Stay keeping my cup full, so I'm extra charged like a state tax. Me and Chains go way back. We don't talk, we just say facts. Yes, Lord. I say, girl, unless I'm with you. If I take you out of the picture, I know real won't miss you. No lie, yeah, yeah. No lie, yeah, yeah. Real say word. You ain't never told no lie. You ain't never told no lie. Real say word. You ain't never told no lie. You ain't never told no lie. Real say true. You ain't never told no lie. You ain't never told no lie, that's the thing I don't do. Nah, I just do it for the that are trying to see a million for they die. What up?
Name a that won't summer, I'll rap his air, I'll trap his air, put his air, in a plastic bag with his trash air. Take him out,
yeah.
Bring him in, them whole things. Tupac without a nose ring, thug life, one wife, a mistress, and a girlfriend. I did what they say I wouldn't,
tell.
Went where they say I couldn't.
True.
YSL belt buckle, y'all show it looking.
Okay, you're on. Yeah, man, that's slight technical difficulties right there. You know, that happens every once in a while. You know, on Blog Talk Radio, a lot of different shows go on at the same time. So sometimes, you know, everything gets crossed up. But, you know, I'm glad our audience is always patient if that ever does happen. It rarely happens, but, you know, sometimes we get a glitch. But we come right back on and we kick it. This week is a little bit different, man. We got a great MC on tonight. We got awesome R&B singer. We got the Kid Daytona on, and we got Chris P. Usually we have an artist and a model. the model comes on during our beautiful music segment of the show. Basically, that is, you know, we interview the models. We interview the video vixens, your favorite magazine girls. We get all of their insight on what they think the industry is about. You know what I'm saying? How they see it. Do they feel waiting on them video shoots? You know, some of them don't like that. So they like, I hate videos, but I got to go through them. Some of them like, I love videos. Some girls in the military, some girls in school, you know, some girls are mothers. You know, we get their insight on what they're doing and, you know, how they do it. And a lot of them are doing it well. So shout out to all the models that have been on our show from day one. That's been a great segment. We love talking to them. And the beautiful music segment will be back next week. So shout out to everybody that's been on that segment.
Yeah, shout out to the models.
For sure, for sure. Also, aspiring artists, if you're looking to get your songs critiqued, you know, by some people who know the ins and outs of the business, feel free, submit. First off, you got to join Global 14. My handle is at Brightwood Entertainment, Onyx, at Onyx254, and Golden Fleece is at the group. So make sure you sign up for Global14.com. Get on there, add us, you know, hit us up, let us know. You know, we'll give you some information on submitting your music for critiquing.
Absolutely. We do the reviews every now and then, and a couple of times we'll go ahead and put them in the rotation. So, again, definitely get your music into us, and models, holler at the glue on Twitter so that he can, check out the credentials and see if you have what it takes to be a beautiful music segment model. What we have coming up right now, we're going to go ahead and do the Billboard Awards because we get into the numbers. Not Billboard Awards, I'm sorry, Billboard Charts. On the Hot 100, we got Pop. A Hot 100 in the pop charts, we got Call Me Maybe, Carly Rae Jepsen. And then we have Radio Charts. We got Ye featuring Kimbra, somebody that I used to know. The video is really, really weird. I don't know if you guys had a chance to check that out, but it is very weird. Also, Usher, Climax, number one R&B hip-hop song in the nation. It's been on the charts for quite a while. And then we have also... He has the number one R&B hip-hop album in the nation. So shout out to Usher. I know there's some talk on Global 14 that he actually wouldn't have a good turnout. So I'd like to know what the units were on that because he is number one right now, guys. So, again,
we gotta find out the numbers because these days, great turnout.
Doesn't always mean great numbers.
You don't need that much.
Unfortunately, right. Right, unfortunately. But nevertheless,
it's phenomenal. So hopefully his numbers are good. But nowadays, number one, shit, he used to be in the 100,000s and be number one.
It looks like it, right? Because it's so easy to get to the music these days. And again, nevertheless, you know, congratulations on selling something. And the number one rap song in the country is, of course, who else? Cash Out with Cashin' Out. It's crazy. Everybody loves that song. It's everywhere. Anything on the mixtape?
Nina.
Yeah, we got three on the mixtapes right now. We got DJ Frank White with the best freestyles of Yellow Wolf. We have Little B dropping again with Green Flame. We also have Mass Pipe Miles just dropped the Sky Miles EP. How y'all feeling
right
about that?
Well, I know we mentioned last week Mass Pike was going to drop something this week. So shout out to Mass Pike Miles. He definitely was a guest on the show a couple months ago. Much success to him. Little B is always dropping something. Who else did you say? Yellow Wolf?
Yeah, DJ Frank White dropped the mixtape of Best Of Freestyles of Yellow Wolf.
Okay.
You know Yellow Wolf is known to jump on a couple
industry
tracks.
Yeah, he do. He do his thing.
Yeah, so he did a whole mixtape, him straight beast in the freestyle. So
That's crazy. Well, I definitely want to check that out. I haven't had an opportunity to. How about you, Roland?
Nah, haven't even been able to check out anything, man. I'm definitely going to check out my man, Mass Pike. Shout out to the homie, Mass Pike. You know, Saddam, all them boys over there. You know, and I'm, you know, haven't checked out the last Little B joint, you know what I'm saying? And to be honest, I had a hard time even getting into Yellow Wolf, so I definitely will be checking this mixtape out. I hadn't got into him like a lot of people have, so
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna have to check him out again because people keep telling me, "Y'all don't sleep on Yellow Wolf." And it is not that I'm sleeping; I just heard a few things that kind of had me like, "Okay, that's cool." You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it wasn't enough to get you fired up.
Right. But I like Yellow Wolf.
It's crazy. I heard he do got bit, you know what I'm saying? So I'm going to check out this mixtape. Shout out to him because he is doing his thing.
Absolutely. That's what's up. Gotta get him. What was that, T?
I mean, I was just saying, I dig Yellow Wolf, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I'm not going to say that everything I've heard been the greatest. You know, he has had a few records that I actually went and checked out some of his old videos, like when he first was getting on, and he got some pretty good music, you know. I think, you know, you give him a shot.
Yeah, absolutely. He definitely has a nice little resume when it comes to the music. I like a couple of his songs. And again, kind of the same for you. It's not like everything he does, I'm just feeling it. But for the most part, he's okay with me. But again, coming up tonight, like I said, we got East Coast and we have West Coast. We got the Kid Daytona, like Golden said, an awesome lyricist. I've heard of him for a couple of years now, even being from the Texas area. His name does move. And he's done a lot of work. Who are some of the people he worked with, Golden?
He's done work with Bun B, Action Bronson, Melody Fiona, Travis McCoy. I mean, the list really is incredible for this dude, man. And I can't wait to, you know, talk to homie because he definitely has a lot of things going on. I heard he just got back from overseas. But, you know, for his career, man, he's doing big things. He's an ambassador for Grey Goose. Creative Reaction Shoes, LRG. So
yeah.
The boy is definitely doing his thing, and hopefully he could tell us all about it.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to have him come on the line in a second. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to actually go ahead and get into his phone because he'll be calling in shortly. And this is Kid Daytona.
Low. You ain't low, nigga.
La música de Harry Fry.
Yeah! Just trying to chill, you know. Just trying to be low. Daytona. Yeah!
You know what it means when I'm rolling up. Got the bottles on deck, nigga, hold them up. And the thirst is real till the house is up. Try to chill, but still I ain't low.
They like, oh, you act like you don't know, nigga. Just pass, no dab, no hello, nigga. Go figure, last winter I was close with ya. I'm like, homie, is you serious? You a hoe, nigga? Yo, I got no business with broke niggas. On my day one fan, spinning, no sipping. Looking prolific, bitches blow kisses. I got the whole hood saying, you ain't no nigga. Oh shit, Louboutin loafers, my chick and them Danford deals. I sit back and chill, looking like the Mac for real. As the waitress bring the bottles through, little Mexican bring the cranberry and orange juice. I'm no psychic, but I done read a mind or two. With you, I read head like buying a douche. For the square niggas out the loop. I hope next year works out for you. I'm up in greenhouse with Nicole Kidman and got all the hoes saying, you ain't low, nigga. You ain't low, nigga. You ain't low.
Already know what it is when I'm rolling up. Got the bottles on deck, nigga, hold them up. And the thirst is real till the house is up. Tryna chill, but still I ain't low, nigga.
Yeah. Yo, the Bible will tell you, reap what you sow, nigga.
Yeah.
And I be way too high to be low, nigga. Yeah, I'm in the hood getting dough, nigga. And I ain't gotta say what I sell, you can go figure. I move mountains, but who's counting?
Ooh.
Top floor, ocean view, blue fountain. Farragamos all swayed a few thousand.
Ooh.
The difference is, I'm copping, you browsing. My connect got a mutual respect. But if you talk or you short, they'll shoot you in the neck.
Yeah,
always keep your eye on the deuces in the deck, and they won't jam with the correct usage of the text.
Nah,
I don't like to talk much, I like to show niggas. If Wayne never broke bread, I don't know niggas. Self-made millionaire, I don't owe niggas. And on that note,
you ain't low, nigga. You ain't low, nigga. You ain't low.
Already know what it is when I'm rolling up. Got the bottles on deck, nigga, hold them up. And the thirst is real till the house is up. Try to chill, but still I ain't low, nigga.
My act like De Niro in the teen years. Anyway, I'm the man there. I'm cool with all the fanfare. What you doing? Just standing there, bitch, making moves for them niggas in the lavish wear. No wag, bitch.
bitches in my atmosphere. No tracks in here. Just curly hair girls I'm attracting, yeah. Lisa Turtles, Denise's, East Africans, yeah. Dimples in the lower back, ass smiling at me. She just throw it back, cause my rap style is nasty. Got a bell, bib, the vote, bitches. Can't trust the big button to smash.
You ain't low, nigga. You ain't low, nigga. You ain't low.
Already know what it is when I'm rolling up. Got the bottles on deck, take a hold of my. In the thirst is real, tell the house if I try to chill, but still I ain't low, nigga.
Already, that was Kid Daytona. He'll actually be calling in a couple of minutes. And while we were on break and playing his joint, we were actually talking about some numbers. And I did pull Usher's records up because he does have the number one album in the country right now as far as the R&B and hip-hop. And it's actually just 128. And Golden, like you were saying, you know, get into your theory of you don't need that much. Tyrone, I know you spit some numbers out for Waka. What were they?
Waka Flocka, second week. He just dropped the Triple F last week. He's done 14,000 this week for a total of 47,000 units in 2 weeks.
Okay.
You know, 2 weeks, you know, 47,000 these days, I think that, you know, nobody's selling like they used to, you know, and I feel like after 2 weeks, you've done half of 100, you know, I mean, I doubt that he's going to go gold, but at the same time, you know, from what I understand, they just got a distribution deal through Sony Red, and a lot of money is coming from their own pocket. So I would imagine that they don't owe nobody. You know, that's what I'm thinking, you know, based off of the type of deal that they have. So 47,000 is good. I mean, even Killer Mike mentioned that if he sells 5,000, you know, that's all him, you know, at $10 a piece. So, you know, it's pretty good money. You know what I mean? It all depends on what type of deal you have.
It's definitely decent. Well, what we can do then while we're waiting on Kid Daytona to get on the line is actually go straight into some of the news here that we have this week. We have quite a bit. But what are some of the breaking news, Golden? I know that you picked up a couple along the way. As always.
Yeah, definitely, most definitely. First of all, we want to say get well soon to the homie 50 Cent. Apparently, he was in a car crash out in New York. Basically, he was rear-ended by a back truck. So that was pretty crazy. They rushed him to the hospital on the stretcher, you know, basically checking for neck and back injuries. And a source is saying that 50 Cent is fine, you know what I'm saying? So, shout out to 50. Hopefully he make a speedy recovery. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't driving a bulletproof SUV at the time. So, you know, I guess he got a little bit, truck got a little bit bended up. Of course, it's a Mack truck. You know what I'm saying? We just hope everything's good with his neck and back. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We know 50 was just in the hospital. He had a stomach virus that was nagging him for a little bit. You know, he came out of that, you know, did all his interviews for the mixtape that he dropped with DJ Drama, the Lost Tapes. So, you know, 50's just a workaholic and a grinder, man. So you kind of feel like as soon as that dude, something happens, he'll be back out on his feet soon. You know what I'm saying? He's just one of those warriors. So hopefully that man get better, you know, quickly. You know what I'm saying? So they're saying he's fine right now. So hopefully we'll see him soon.
It's crazy. Every week we're wishing somebody well and a safe homecoming from the hospital or whatnot. Last week it was Trey, and not too long ago, was it Rick Ross, Fat Joe? I mean, it's just been consistent week to week. I mean, of course, there's, you know, it is what it is because they're, you know, just like us, but it just seems like it's in the news a lot lately.
Yeah,
so, pretty
definitely.
Crazy. Okay.
Hey, I know all about being hit by dump trucks. Some things ain't no joke. You know what I'm saying? So I
got hit by a dump truck.
I was in my vehicle, but it totaled my whole vehicle. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
That was like 2005. I got probably back problems for life. You know what I mean? Since then.
Crazy.
The lifetime of back problems don't really add up to the amount of money that I got.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So,
right.
And insult to injury, I had just got the whip out of the paint shop the day before. That's the worst.
That happened to me 2 weeks after I got a ride. I had got an accident. I was 2-3 and it was total. So I know how that feels. Not so much the dump truck though. But definitely not cool.
Glad the homie Tyrone is, here with us doing his thing, and we hope for a speedy recovery for Fifth too.
Absolutely.
Another thing that I pulled up that I thought was pretty funny, I was laughing at this shit. Chris Brown and Drake, somebody offered them $1 million apiece to settle their differences in a boxing ring.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So, celebrity boxing promoter, his name is Damon Feldman.
You're kidding me.
He's the man behind the Hollywood Fight Nights. He's offering them $1 million apiece to get in the ring and scrap it out. An additional million will be donated to charity targeting towards those. This is what was crazy to me. He's going to give $1 million targeting abused women. So basically,
are you serious?
Okay, I'll give each of y'all $1 million and I'll give $1 million to abused women because, Chris Brown, we all know you beat the shit out of Rihanna.
Right.
I would actually like to see this shit. I would actually like to see these niggas just get in the ring instead of doing that whole ass shit in clubs. So much shit has transpired from that club incident. Tony Parker can't go to the Olympics. He's suing for $20 million.
Yeah, I heard that. That was crazy.
Suing. The club lost its liquor license because of these niggas. Y'all should go and just fight in front of everybody so at least they can get the satisfaction of seeing who will win against a battle between y'all cats, because y'all have ruined other people's shit.
Yeah,
for no
y'all
fucking reason
at
all, yo.
Which is just a shame.
I would say.
You notice how
you
said it all.
I wouldn't say that they can't even. You know what I mean? They can't do that because either way, it'll probably. I think it will probably ruin both of their careers.
And they have the
really.
Same fan base. I was gonna say they had the same fan base, so I'm not sure how that even would even work out. But at least they trying to get them some money. But who knows if that's, and that's just something they was offered. Was that a legit offer, or is that just?
Yeah, that's real.
That's crazy. That is crazy.
Ain't Drake getting probably at least half of that a show anyway.
Numbers, you know what I'm saying? I just think, I looked at that shit and at first I started laughing, but then when you read the backlash of what's going on with the fucking clubs and Tony Parker missing the Olympics and all this crazy shit, and it's just like, yo, somebody want to see these niggas battle, and it's like, go ahead and do it. If y'all got that much animosity, whether it's over Rihanna or not, get in that ring for that million. Give that million to charity. You know what I'm saying? Do something.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. Well, definitely.
Yeah, because somebody got their head. I mean, some people got their head split, like, for real, though. Like,
to the white people.
I like the way y'all described it last week. That was funny.
If it's that serious.
But it's not funny.
To the brain, though. Like, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, I know
Let's
we got more in the news.
Right,
I was gonna say, I know we got more in the news, but just literally 5 seconds ago, we had another come in. So I think this is your boy, Kid Daytona himself. Kid Daytona, are you live with us?
Yeah.
Alrighty.
Hello.
What's good? Welcome to the cut. Yes, we can. Guys, are you there?
All right, what's going on? Oh, yeah, we right here.
Of course, man. Kid Daytona's in the building. This is the man we've been waiting for. Bronx MC, how you doing today, brother?
I'm chilling, man. Just enjoying this weather we got going on right now in NYC.
I can dig it, man. We want to get right into it, man. First of all, a big fan of yours, man. When I heard my homie Spin Tech was helping out on what you had going on up there, I was very pleased, man, because, been checking you out for a while. You've been doing a lot of big things, man. Explain to the people. I just told them that you were from the Bronx, but explain to the people who Kid Daytona is and, you know, how'd you get started emceeing and when you get started.
Kid Daytona is a South Bronx MC, and, you know, I'm not a rapper. You know, I do hip-hop music, and I, you know, like, really pay attention to my lyrics and what I got going on and what I'm speaking about and, you know what I'm saying, the music that I'm you know, just recording and the things that I'm portraying. And that's me, and I don't fabricate anything. I don't give people nothing fugazi. It's just all, you know, me. You know what I mean? I'm the only person I know how to be, so that's what I get of people, man. And I've been doing this for a minute, even though, you know, I'm 26. I'll be 27 on Saturday, actually.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Cool.
And, you know, just been in the industry for a long time. Got a lot of allies, got a lot of people that, you know, show me love, man. And I'm just doing what I love to do, making this music.
That's awesome, man. We definitely congratulate you on all that. We all know how I'm seeing in this game. You know, it's not, you know, it doesn't give everybody the great run that it's giving you, man. And I know when I always talk to anybody from the Bronx, man, of course, so many legends from hip-hop have come out of the Bronx, and the MCs out there really take their craft seriously. If you ever heard Daytona, you would know that that comes across in his music. Explain how being from the birthplace affects you and how you write your music, how you look at the culture, period, not just, like you said, not as a rapper, but living the culture. Does the Bronx breed that into guys just growing up wanting to be an MC?
I mean, you know, just being from the South Bronx and just knowing all the history and, you know, just paying attention to what is just was going on around me when I was younger. Like, I used to see, you know, Big Pun come through. I used to see Fat Joe. I used to see Fat Joe's tag, actually, you know, crack all over the place. You know what I'm saying? You know, I used to see, you know, just like cats like KRS-One. And, you know, I heard about Slick Rick and the Jams and all that because I had an uncle, you know, 14 years older than me. And that's kind of like how I really just started just loving the music. He used to have the techniques in the crib, and just, you know, just be cutting up in the living room and all that. And I was just watching them, just a fan, and just hearing all this music that was just going on in my crib. And just knowing what the Bronx stood for, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm proud of that. You know what I mean? And,
right.
You know, it's crazy just now, just even in the game, you know, when I go and travel to other places, you know, people just have, I guess, like, New York has a representation of just being, like, cocky and just feeling ourselves. And, you know, so, like, niggas from out of town actually feel like, you know, that's what they think New York dudes is all about. You know what I'm saying? So when they meet me and they know that I'm humble and I just really just love the music, you know, they just get a whole nother different just way and train of thought of just, you know, the representation in New York City, man. And, you know, I'm just proud of where I'm from. Not all.
No. That's excellent, man, and you're right. It definitely, you know, I'm from up top, and when I moved down south, it was the same type of thing. It was just like, you know, that's just what they think. You know what I'm saying? It's like, and then you come across certain ways, and they're like, oh, they brand you immediately. But, you know, then they see how cool you are, and then they be like, yo, I want to visit
New
York.
You know, then they just forget about all that. And that's the crazy thing. It's just like, you know, because we was on top for so long. Right, just we just had a long ass reign, and it's like now, it's just like, you know, other places just getting the shine and getting their love, and you know, I don't, it's nothing wrong with that. Like, I embrace all of that, but I just feel sometimes that just because this thing that's going on right now, you know, with all the South music and just all that, I feel like the way how cats is going on about it, it's like we losing our identity a little bit. You know what I'm saying? And all. No, I just, that's something that I don't feel like should happen, and something I don't want to happen. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's why I just really do what I do and just keep, you know, maintaining that. You know, me and Jadakiss was talking about this when we was at the video shoot a couple of weeks ago for the Low record that me and him got together. And, you know, he was just telling me just like how cats like Kanye, you know, just hollering at him like, yo, man, we need that New York City. We need that. You know, he told me he sent them like 20 beats, and it's just like Kanye, Grammy, you know, M's, and he don't got to do that for Jada. But it's just that sound that people still want to hear. And, you know, we can't forget about that just because, you know, all the trap music stuff is what's going on right now. But people still love that essence.
Nah, that's definitely, you know, what's crazy about that is we actually had Slow Bucks on a few weeks, probably like a month or so ago, and they was in the studio with Jada. And they put him on the phone, and we spoke about that real briefly. Just, you know, I wanted to know, how does it feel to be a New York artist that these Southern cats are seeking out to do records with? You know what I'm saying? Like, even, you know, you still hear people saying, okay, I got to make sure I do a record with a Jada Kiss, even if they some young South cat. And I feel that, you know, an MC like you will be on that same train. They're going to want to work with Kid Daytona no matter what, because the foundation is so solid for what y'all set for. Because
they know it's authentic, man, and I just feel like, you know, I respect a lot of cats from the South, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, the big Chris of the games and, you know, the dudes that have been doing it for a while, like the Ludacris's. And, you know, I even respect, you know, what the type of energy that Waka Flocka brings to the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not saying anybody got to be, you know, writing their ass off and being lyricists if that's not what they do. Everybody got to bring some, you know, their own thing to the game. And I just feel like, you know, with all the copycat stuff that's going on, you know, it's just hip-hop just as a whole is just losing its identity and all. And, you know, with me, man, I'm an individual, and that's what I like portraying. And, you know, I just do my own thing. I don't really pay attention too much of what's going on at the current time. I just do my own thing, you know. And me and Kiss, we were talking about that for a long time, man, and you know, it's just, I just feel like it's important. And, you know, and young cats like the Kendrick Lamars and all that that's coming up and that's really, really putting their pen game down, I really feel like, you know, people still want to hear that, man. And that's what I'm hoping.
Nah, I mean, you hit it right. You hit the nail right on the head, man. I mean, you got cats like Kendrick Lamar, the big crits of the world. I see it coming back around to that. I mean, I was shocked to see in a video with him one time, and it was like all the gangsta OGs on the stage, Snoop, Game, all of these guys, and they coronated him the next guy. And it was like you would think they were coronating some dude with a rag hanging out the back of his pocket. It wasn't that, you know what I'm saying, it was Kendrick, you know what I'm saying, because Kendrick is authentic.
You know what I'm saying, he's not doing no foolery, he's doing his own thing, you know what I'm saying, like that's him, that he, anything that he's about, anything he talk about is him, he don't try to portray nobody else, and I think they see that, you know.
Indeed, and they recognize, and I know they're going to recognize that with you, and that's why, you know, I'm glad we got you on here. Now, I know I read somewhere where Daytona, you know, I'm over here in Florida right now, so I'm by Daytona, but you got the name Daytona from a wild story. It didn't just come to you from, you know, Daytona. Explain to the audience how you got that name, fam.
All right, just being, you know, young and retarded, high school, and one of my mans, Big Ralph, you know, who is locked up right now, shout out to Ralph and all that. You know, he had a master key to like Toyota Camrys, right? And this is like the old school box joints. So any joint from like 87 to like 92, 93, it opened up, you know, all of those whips, right? It was a master key for Toyotas. And we used, every time we used to spot one on the block, we used to joyride it, take it to Harlem, take it uptown in the Bronx, just ride around in this whip. So one time it was my turn. We seen the joint. It's like five of us packed in the whip. And I thought I saw, you know, a D or whatever. And I had crashed along like four parked cars, right? So we all got out and ran. And then we got back to the block, and it was like, niggas like, yo, you Daytona 500-ass nigga. And that's how the name just stuck from then, Daytona. And then, you know, it was history.
Man, I love hearing stories like that, G. That just, you know, you, that whole story, I wasn't nowhere near that shit, but you just brought me back like I was like I was dead. You know what I'm saying? That's a crazy story. Now, I used to hang in the Bronx. My man used to live over there off Prospect, off on Dawson.
Okay.
And we used to walk around the park.
Around the, Yeah, it's right around where I'm from. I'm from right by Yankee Stadium on the Concourse.
Okay.
On 6-4.
Yeah, that's what it is. So, you know, we used to be around there and the cars is on the street, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, and I grew up Hempstead, Long Island. That's where I'm from. So, you know, we used to play football right in that little lane and all them cars is on the side. And it's so easy to hit like four of them shits in a row, yo. So, the way you pitch it.
Yeah,
because
everything is just parked up alongside. I know I used to, you know, funny story. I used to be in Roosevelt, Long Island.
Okay.
You know, I used to fuck with, I don't know if you know Loaded Lux.
Yeah, Loaded
I don't know
Lux.
If you ever heard of him before. He's like a battle cat. Yeah,
shout
we used to be in a group
Lux.
Together.
That's
I used to go to Roosevelt all the time. I remember being a youngin' and like 13 years old going to like Greek Fest with God Bless the Dead, shout out to Huddy Combs. You know, I mean, he took us out to Greek Fest one time. You know, just all of that, man. L.I. was just like a different world. You know, like like you said, like we used to go out there play football in the backyard, and now it's just something brand new for us because it was like we was playing football in the street. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, rough touch. So it's like boom, knock a nigga into a car, two-hand touch. wait for the wait for the traffic to clear, then it's hype men and mo, boom. But in Long Island, it was just free space.
You know what's funny about
hell
that?
Yeah.
Like when you go out, they got the little, they got certain different areas. And I noticed that, like, when I used to go to the city to visit my homeboys, like, on our block, we had the backyard, small backyard, but we still played in the street, and every car was, and our shit was a one-way.
Mm.
So every time, we occasionally get that wild nigga running from the cops or something that'll come down the runway. While we was playing and shit, we had to damn near dive onto the concrete. But
I digress.
You're bringing me back, G. You're bringing me back. But we definitely got to get back into the Kid Daytona music, man, because you're making so many moves for yourself, man. I mean, Jadakiss collaboration, Melanie Fiona collaborations, Action Bronson collaborations, Travis McCoy collaborations. I know the interlude.
How y'all know about
real.
Travis McCoy? We ain't even get into that.
I got that inside scoop. That's why I want you to give us a little bit. Not that much, but a little bit.
Well, I'm going to tell you what's going on right now. So we just shot the video for the Low Remix, and that's coming out next week, what have you. And, you know, that's for a project called the Summer Games, right, that we got going on. And that's coming out the end of July, like first week of August. And I actually just came back from Europe. I was in Europe for 3 weeks, just all over the place, Paris, Dublin, Oslo, Barcelona, just out in the world, you know what I'm saying? And doing shows, rocking clubs, and, you know, we shot actually 9 videos out in Europe for this next project because the correlation, you know, within it all is Summer Games. You know, Olympics is coming up, you know what I'm saying? And it's in London, it's in Europe. And it's just like, we just wanted to, like, just do something fly. Like, you know, instead of just being in New York shooting videos, we like, yo, let's go to Europe, man, and just kill it. You know, like, I got video. I'm in Venice in the gondola, you know, sipping Venetian wine out the bottle with the dude in the back with the paddle. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just all kind of ill shit.
Man.
And I just want to bring just people just into seeing something different. And it's just like, It's just so ill outside of America, you know, and it's like I'm blessed because a lot of cats that I grew up with, you know, ain't even leave that 10-block radius that they see every single day, you know what I'm saying? Like, they just there still, and it's like me, man, I always wanted to see just the world and just meet different people, see different things, get into different cultures, taste different food. And that's why I wanted to bring the people on this, man. Summer Games, just a whole world project. And I'm definitely looking forward, you know, for the people to hearing that. And then after that, man, me and Travis McCoy got this thing that we doing. And it's just kind of ill because I know people are probably like, yo, how Daytona and Travis hook up? Like, that don't even make no sense. But we got this project. It's called Gypsy Cab Confessions. And that probably dropped, like, you know, sometime early in the fall.
Wow. But I'm going to tell you right now, man, just kudos on that whole Summer Games correlation right there,
man.
That's awesome creativity right there, man. I'm so looking forward to those videos just by you explaining to me how y'all put that together. Awesome creativity right there. And your rhyme style, man, is so dope, man. A lot. When I first heard you, I remember my man was like, "You're gonna remind you of Jay." He gonna what type of do you ever get put in a, like, somebody tell you always reminding them of somebody? Because when I heard you, I was like, I don't really see it, but I see he's smooth. He's a smooth dude. Jay's a smooth dude, but he got his
own thing. I'm from New York. You know what I'm saying? I guess I just take all of that as a compliment, you know what I'm saying? Because,
right,
you know, I always hear, not only do I hear, like, yo, he's like Jay, but I always hear, yo, he's Reasonable Doubt Jay-Z.
Right.
Always. I would never hear, like, yo, this dude is Jay-Z. It's always like, yo, he's like Young Jay from, like, Reasonable Doubt. Because Spin was telling me the other day that he was with Rockwilder and he was playing him joints, and he, you know, he was bugging. You know, like, he just said the same thing. And not that I sound like Jay, just that I remind him of that Reasonable Doubt Jay-Z from 96, 97. You know, and I just take
Which
that all in as a compliment. And I heard, you know, Travis McCoy tell me, like, I remind him of Nas. You know, like, just the rhyme patterns and all that. And it's just like, for me, man, being compared to those type of dudes and on that type of caliber, it's like, I can't take it no other way than a compliment. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, that's a compliment all day long. I mean, those two cats are New York giants. However you want to slice
it.
For
sure.
They took New York rap to different corners of the world. And being compared to them, coming out, doing what you're doing, nothing but a compliment. And then when you go, you know what's funny, man? Sometimes a nigga come up and he'll be like, yo, you gotta hear this nigga. This nigga sound like so-and-so. Then you go check the nigga out. You be like, man, this nigga's garbage. You know what I'm saying? Like, that don't happen, you know, with you. You know what I'm saying? It's like your whole play is real smooth. I remember seeing a video when you was, like, just out on the beach by yourself. And you was, like, against this little brick wall in the sand, kind of. I forgot the name of that show,
okay.
Mm-hmm. Was it on the beach where you was? You were somewhere secluded.
Not that you saw. I was in Puerto Rico. You're probably talking about the So Buttery joint, the Padma joint.
Yeah.
We was out. We actually shot that in La Perla, which is, like, you know, that's like the Brownsville of Puerto Rico. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, yeah, it's crazy. You know, like, we couldn't, they was just like, make sure you don't film the dudes on the mopeds, you know what I'm saying, on nobody faces. Y'all got an hour in here, and then after that, y'all got to be out, you know what I'm saying? Dude, we had to, like, call, like, an OG favor, like, yo, we trying to do this in here, just because it's so grimy, but at the same time, it's, like, beautiful, you know what I mean? Because it has, like, all this ill artwork and just, like, a whole bunch of things just going on inside of it. And, you know, yeah, not too many people. And it's one way in, literally, one way in and one way out. And it's like the narrow-ass thing
that
you got to drive. You got to drive, like, no more than 3 miles per hour to get through, like, the corridor to get let in, right? So if you're trying to make a run out of there, so you come in, you know what I'm saying? You got to know how you're getting out. And, yeah, man, like, shout out to those dudes. If anybody listening from Puerto Rico, I was in La Perla, and they already know what it is.
Nah, that's what's up, man. You know, to be able to just, you know, make the OG calls where you can get into those places and do your thing. That video came out real dope. I remember seeing it and just be like, y'all fucks with this dude. Like, this dude is doing his own thing, and from then on,
yeah, they,
you know,
they showed a lot of love, man.
I
bought that joint on 106 in Park, man. MTV had that joint. As, you know, like, we debuted, like, number 15 on Sucker Free on the countdown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it was definitely a lot of love on that joint, man. And, you know, I had a lot of fun shooting that. That was my first time in Puerto Rico. We just straight guerrilla-styled everything. And just, that's how we do our vids, man. We just go, you know, in different places. And even in the joint with Jada, like, we shot that, you know, in a $3,000 a night penthouse in the Thompson, you know, and we just, like, invited mad chicks, and it was just me, Jada, and 10 bottles of Grey Goose. And we was just let's just shoot this bit, you know what I'm saying?
Big time poker style, just chilling and all around the table.
Yeah.
I seen it, I was like, yeah, them boys is definitely doing their thing, man. Let me ask you a quick question, man. How does it feel like when you're sitting across from a cat like Jada? You know, did the put it down so strong for New York? You at the table with him.
I can't even
front.
Like we had a scene actually where it was me and him. And we was playing cards with these two chicks. And no lie, B, like, I definitely fanned out, you know what I'm saying, at one point. It was like, yo, like, I'm fucking doing a video of Kiss. Like, it's crazy.
Right.
And so, like, in between takes, I'm asking them wild questions. You know what I'm saying? And he just looking at me like, yo, you know, like, like, you know, I'm just, he could tell, like, I'm a fan. And I think he respected that because, you know, I ain't treated like, yo, yeah, I'm Daytona and I'm whatever. It was like, yo, I was like a kid, you know, for somebody I was listening to, you know, from since high school and even before that, like seventh, eighth grade.
Right.
I mean,
he's been doing this
just
thing
like,
for such a long time, man. He's
yo,
been doing
for a long
several.
Time, man. Since like 96 videos of Mariah and all that in the chopper.
I think
you know what I'm saying?
That.
Like that type of shit.
Well, I think you're on your way to that, too, because, I mean, when you got cats like that co-signing you, wanting to do videos with you, you know, feeling what you got going on, I know that's got to make you feel real good. You know, Melanie Fiona, one of the dopest, you know what I'm saying? You got songs with her.
Yeah, shout out to Melanie. She's
to
a real,
people,
real cool person.
Oh, man, she's so beautiful. It's like when I first met her, she was floating, dog. It's like she was floating by me, dog. And I was like,
yo, you got to go to Toronto, man. It's Melanie Fiona's all over the place.
Oh, man, don't tell me that.
No lie.
Flights will be booked. Flights will be booked, my brother. I got to do that. But when I saw your discography, man, and I know how great the interlude one was, genius idea on that joint, you know what I'm saying? And that gave you the critical acclaim. I was thinking to myself, okay, here's a New York rappers. You know, I saw French Montana on another Bronx native on 106 and Park. And he was like, how he wants to really, really bring New York back. And that's why he didn't sign with anybody but Puff. Even though he wanted Rosé to deal with his project, he wanted to be New York and bring New York back. Do you walk around with that on your shoulder? Do you say that? Or do you just say, hey, man, I just want to do great music and I happen to be from New York?
I think it's both. You know, because just being a New York cat, we always got that chip on our shoulder. You know,
right.
And like I said, just even being out and just seeing cats just shining and you know, they just, you know, I just think from New York, being from New York, it's like I want to represent where I'm from, and at the same time, I want to make great music. You know, and it's just
right.
So crazy because it's like we are like the underdogs right now.
Right.
If you really think about
that's
it.
That's crazy.
If somebody come out, if somebody come out from, you know, Kansas, he'll have, you know, a better chance at getting on than somebody, you know, coming from Harlem and they being the illest cat. It's like, oh, I signed this dude from Kansas because he got another kind of story. Like, we heard the New York story, you know, millions and millions of times. So it's just like,
now,
with us,
we
just got to keep flipping it.
Do you think it's that Daytona? Do you think that it's because they're looking for somebody else? Or do you think that the New York audience has gravitated to other music because they want to be, I guess,
I think it's like they are looking for other things. And at the same time, New York radio is only playing. New York radio right now is copycat and everything. We don't even get the music first. Like, it's just like, okay, what's hot? What's the hottest song in Atlanta? Oh, let me, you know, rock this. What's the hottest song in Miami? Like, it's nothing new anymore. Like, when was the last time? And even, like, you know, when A$AP Rocky came through with Pesos, like the radio was the last person to, like the last people to pick it up, and he's from here.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? It's kind of like they don't, like, you know, like I got love for Enough and Camilo and Flex and all them, but I'm just being all the way real. You know, like, it's cats coming up in the game, like cats is doing their thing for real from New York, and it's like they're the last people to get it. Why is that?
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
No,
like, why is
that real spit?
And even Frenchie, like, Shot Callers came out, real talk, on July 4th of last year. I remember. You know what I'm saying? And I remember, like, Enough was playing it a little bit, but it ain't pop off until, like, New Year's.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm. It took that long because, you know, they kept grinding, kept going at it. And that's just what it was. And then you got cats like Future, 2 Chainz. You know, they just get love from where they from.
Yeah, Crazy Burn.
You know, like, you know, you look at a cat like 2 Chainz, he been in the game forever. You know what I'm saying? He just kept going at it. And now he's, you know, one of the hottest cats in the game, period.
Right.
And it's just, you know, I just feel like if the DJs really embrace the young artists and just even look deep into just even what's going on, because there's so much, like Bronson, for instance, my man, he don't get no airplay in NY, and Bronson is one of the illest cats. You understand what I'm saying? And it's like, what would it take for a Funk Flex to take a Bronson record and pop it off? Bronson got does he got a rap over a Lex Luger track?
Wow.
Or does he got a rap over, you know what I'm saying, like Jungle Beats?
Right.
You know what I'm saying, like Jahlil Beats, does he got to do that? Like, it's just crazy just what's going on, you know what I mean? And I don't think it's like, yo, because people listen to what they're told to listen to.
Right.
Especially when it comes to mainstream. The DJ controls all that.
What
but
it
had to take fans to find Kendrick Lamar, find Action Bronson. You know, as if it wasn't for the internet, you know, these cats would, you know, they wouldn't even have no shot.
That shit is crazy, man.
So it all comes down to the DJ.
I felt the same way. No, I mean, I felt the same way about the whole subject, and that's why I asked you about it, and that's why I'm glad you gave us the 100% answer that you thought, not the watered-down version of it. You know, I remember when I first heard about A$AP Rocky, and it's funny that you're telling me New York wasn't embracing him because his music sounded like it was from Houston. And when I heard it, it was like, wow, this cat don't sound like he from Harlem. This is just some really slow, screwed up type of mellow.
Nah,
music.
But you know what though? Like, you know, when I first saw it and you know, just looked at it, I was like, I kind of felt the same way. But then when I really just started to like study him and the movement, like that's Harlem all day. His whole style is Harlem. You can't even like knock that. Like, it's young Harlem cats. That's A$AP Rocky all day long.
Right.
You understand? Right. Like, I got like 4 years on A$AP, like 3 or 4 years on them or something like that. And that's what they do.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
I'm
in Harlem. I'm seeing kids that look like A$AP and his crew all day long. You know what I'm saying?
And
it's just like, you know, that music. And that's like saying French ain't from the Bronx. You know, he's not making music like Mobb Deep. He's making French Montana music.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? So it's just, you know, just that whole style. It's like, I don't think people are trying to sound like something else. I'm just thinking that, you know, that's how they're getting on. It's like, all right, if people are bouncing, people is rocking with this style, then I'm going to go and put my New York on top of that, and people is going to embrace it anyway.
No, I understand. I understand what you're saying, definitely. Like, when I was saying that, what I actually meant is that when I first saw his music, I correlated his music with Texas. Then when I start following him, like you said, he's still the get fresh nigga, just like Harlem niggas love to get fresh. You know, he talks about rap, you know, Rick Owens, you know what I'm saying, all these different designers and shit. So you start understanding him after you actually check his movement out. But when I first checked it out, I was like, okay, this music does not, it didn't sound like what I thought, you know what I'm saying? And you got a better perspective on it because I visit New York yearly now, you know what I'm saying? But I'm not rolling through the boroughs like I used to and actually seeing what the young movement is all about, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I definitely am an A$AP Rocky fan. I loved what they're doing, you know what I'm saying? But we're going to get back, you know, to what you're doing. And basically, what do you want out of the game? What does Kid Daytona want to say? Because I'm going to bring my host and co-host back on so they can ask you a question if they have any. But lastly, what does Kid Daytona want to leave in the game the next 2 years, 5 years? What do you want them to say? Wow, this guy came out and did what?
I want them to say, man, that this dude came through and he was an individual. He's cool, and I want to be like him, or I want to be somebody like him. I want to chill with this dude. You know what I mean? I want to meet that dude. Because when I was coming up, I looked at cats like Mace, like Jay, like X. You know what I'm saying? And those are all completely different cats in their own lane, but they all from New York. And I looked at them, though, and I was like, damn, I wonder what it would be like to chill with DMX. I wonder what it would be like to, you know, holler at chicks on 2/5 with Mace. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I want. And that's what I want my fans to feel like, man. Like, I want to feel like how it would be like to chill with Daytona and be like Daytona. And that's what I want to leave on the game, just an influence. I want to be an influence to my listeners.
That's real dope. That's real dope. I'll tell you what, man, I'm an older cat, you know, a little bit older than you, but I want to chill with Daytona. When I come up to New York, I'm going to call up Spin, and I'm going to be like, yo, let's go drink a little bit with Daytona, man. Let's
Spin know what it is. Spin know me on the video shoot because, you know, Spin is my manager's man for years and years and years. And when we was on the video shoot, Spin just seen how it was, like, we was just chilling, you know what I mean? And then from there, we just kicked it off, like, yo, Spin, you my nigga, and vice versa, you know?
That's hot. That's real hot, man. So I hope to see you soon. I'm going to bring my host and co-host back on the line. Guys, y'all still there? Any questions for Daytona before he give all, you know, the Instagrams, the Twitters, or what you got to give out today, you know, say your mom's maiden name. And everything, so they just check everything out, you know. But y'all got any questions for him?
I'm just sitting back, taking it in, and listening to y'all reminiscing and sharing the culture with us. You know, me from Texas. I really enjoyed you. Very wise and beyond your years, and definitely listen to your music. I get that same type of vibe that you described. That you get the comparisons to Jay-Z's and Nas, and so. Just wanted to say much success to you, and we're definitely listening now and have been listening, and we're just really glad that you came on the show tonight. So thank you so much.
Thank you, man. Shout out to Texas. Shout out to my big, big homie Bun B, man. I was just with him right before I left to Europe. He was out here doing the Gumball 3000.
Right.
I don't know if y'all know what that is, but, you know, we was out, we was chilling with the Prince of Dubai and all that. We was with the Prince of Dubai for popping bottles.
Yeah.
It went before Chris Brown and Drake messed it up, man. That's what we was doing right before I left. So shout out to Bun B in Texas all the time.
I don't know if you heard us talking about the Chris Brown and Drake joint before you came on. I don't know if you heard
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit.
Yo, Tyrone, you still
that's
on?
That's wild, man. That's really wild right there, B.
It is.
Yeah, I'm on, man. I had a question in reference to, you know, the situation with New York now. And I actually had a conversation with Backbone and the Dungeon Family last week, and we were talking about the early days of Atlanta hip-hop, and he was basically, he had a situation where he kind of feels like, you know, he's kind of paying homage to New York. I know them cats kind of grew up on New York music, and what he's doing right now is he's doing a mixtape where he's doing it all to to some of the old beats from New York, like the real hip-hop type music. He's paying homage to New York, and it just reminded me, when he was telling me about it, it reminded me of, I believe it was the Source Awards back in the day when Outkast was on stage and they was getting booed. You remember that?
Nah, that was way before, you know. Like, I only used to, like, maybe read my uncle's Source when he got it and brought it home. Nah, I didn't really know about, like, Source Awards. Only real thing I remember from that is when, you know, that whole Biggie and, like, the East Coast, West Coast thing, that classic moment when Snoop came on stage, like, East Coast ain't got love for Snoop. Snoop Dogg in the West Coast. Like, I remember that, you know what I'm saying? But I don't remember when Outkast got booed. But it's funny you say that because even, you know, in my early, like, in that Dungeon Family era of Atlanta, it's so totally different from what's going on right now in Atlanta. You know, and I feel like even when, you know, somebody like Crit represents that era and he doesn't even get the same love that, you know, somebody like Future would get or Waka or somebody, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just kind of like backwards. They look at him different. Like, some people might look at that from Atlanta like, ah, he's kicking too much knowledge. I don't want to hear that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But when you really listen to what he's saying, he's just coming from a different perspective. And that's just, you know, the whole thing is just ill, just the way music is at right now. And that's why I say, like, the DJs have all the control in the world. You know, if they really wanted people to listen to that, they would control it and make people listen. Right. I never heard a Big Crit record on mainstream radio. Never. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
and I think that
well,
he's
as far as
ill,
radio
I think
is concerned,
it's,
I think the. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, like, you know, and, you know, to people's arguments, they might be, oh, radio don't even matter, but it really does. It's still a big player because people don't even. I speak to people all day, and all they do, the only internet they know about is YouTube and Worldstar. They don't know how to go and get music off the internet, and you know, they don't have serious satellite radio in their cribs. They listening to the radio, and they watching Worldstar. You know what I'm saying? That's it. And, you know, I just feel like, you know, if just people just had, because I remember, like, it was just so much different things to pick from. You know, like, even in New York, like, you had Tribe, you had Busta, you had, you know, just so much different kind of things, like, just to pick from, J, X, you know, whatever you wanted to listen to, and that was just in the one state. Then you had, you know, your down south music, you know, you had Ghetto Boys, you had, you know, Dungeon Family, you had, it was just so much things just going on. And I just feel like everybody right now is like, oh, everybody's so afraid to catch a break that they all making the same record. You understand what I'm saying? Just so the DJ could play it. And that's why I feel like the DJs, they got all the power in the world to just really make things happen. If that's what they want.
True. I think, you know, people definitely need to get at these program directors as well, man, because they, you know, a lot of times, you know, some DJs have a little bit of control, but I think most of the stations, the program directors are controlling what's being played, and they got that list of like 20 records, and they're saying play these all day. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I think that takes
I hear you, man.
No, they're gonna burn that shit into your brain, man. You know, and you know I'm a victim. I ain't gonna sit up here in front. You know, one time I'll be driving the whips and I'll be like, man, what the fuck is this? And the next thing you know, I'll be turn our swag on, come on in the club. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not saying that it's nothing even wrong with that. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I'm just talking about a variety.
I was going to say, it'd be
like,
nice
if you
want to
give
variety.
Them that, then you got to give them that.
Absolutely.
Balanced.
We talk about that all the time on the
we
show,
do.
Man. I know you can't be all night with us, but I like to, you know, invite you, man, give you a personal invitation when we don't have guests and we just talk about the state of music and shit like that, man. It would be great if you call in and share some insight on that, man. A lot of people like to do that with us because, you know, we touch on the different things like you know, topics of what's going on. And, you know, we definitely like people's input like you because you keep it in 100. You're not trying to be political.
I'm with that all day. I'm more for
you know
a conversation.
I mean?
Yeah.
Indeed, indeed. So you got that invite from the cut to come back. But
absolutely.
Before you did, man, definitely give your Twitter, your Instagram, you know,
everything.
You know, social network, everything. Just lay it out there.
Man. I just make it easy for everybody. Everything is the Kid Daytona, spelled correctly. THEKIDDAYTONA. Facebook, Twitter, my website, YouTube, everything is the Kid Daytona. That's what it is.
All righty.
That's what it is. Everybody, audience, big round of applause for the Kid Daytona stopping by fresh from the Bronx, New York. We really appreciate
thank
it, my
man.
Brother.
Absolutely. Thank
Peace
you so much for coming through.
All right, Sha.
All right, bro.
All
right. That was the Kid, y'all. That was the Kid. Great interview, man. Great brother right there, man. A lot of insight on what's going on in New York. I'm glad he kept it 100 with that, man. That was real dope.
Absolutely, it was. And I love the fact that he's just, like you said, being real with it and coming forefront with it. And I like the fact that he said he was a fan and he didn't really realize, you know, where he was and who he was with, and that he actually played the fan card, the role, rather, instead of just being there saying, you know, I'm Kid Daytona, I didn't need it. I really like the fact that he was humbled by his experience and work with Jadakiss and everybody else. So, very nice.
Most definitely. Make sure y'all, all everybody listening, check out the Interlude 1, and he's coming out with the Interlude 2. If you're not familiar with Kid Daytona, get familiar with him. Ambassador for LRG, Grey Goose, Creative Reaction, like, the brother is moving. So, you know, get familiar with him, man. He's a real dope MC.
Yes, absolutely. And then, actually, we have, now we're going to the West Coast. We just was in Bronx. Now we're about to hit L.A. Where the BET Awards will be this weekend. But we do have Chris P., who is an R&B, up-and-coming R&B recording artist, and I am very excited. He'll be in the line with us in just one moment, so I actually want to get into one of his joints. And here it is, Chris P.
Don't rush, sweetie, I know you're on your way. My room's to the right, walk into the left's the bed. Take your time, don't trip on them clothes you done took off. I can see it in your face you look on. I know what you're thinking, you know what I'm thinking. Girl, we ain't gotta keep it no secret. Don't think of it as nothing.
That was Chris P. I think we may have him on the line. Not quite sure. Chris P, are you live with us?
Hello?
Hey, is this Pissy? Welcome to G14 Radio Repay.
Hey, how are you? How's everything?
We're good. We're good. We appreciate you stopping by, fellas. We want to get right into it, but I want to give the fellas an opportunity to say what's up to you before we get started.
Shout out Chris P, man. Great to have you on the show, man. Looking forward to this interview, brother.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. Likewise. You know, this is actually my first interview, so I'm a little on the nervous side, but I think we'll do okay.
Oh, yeah, you'll be fine.
Yeah, family, my brother, you're amongst family, so that's no need to be nervous.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm honored. We are so honored. Oh. Tyrone, anything before we get it popping?
Hey, let's get right to it, man. Real interested in seeing what's going down with it.
All right. Okay, well, yeah. Chris, first interview, my first opportunity of listening to you was actually through Crush of Global14.com. So I want to kind of get a lot of background information on you, kind of want to hear about your current projects and what you have coming up. So first and foremost, you are from California, is that correct, or is it L.A.?
Oh, you know what? I'm actually currently residing in L.A. I just moved here in January.
Okay.
I'm originally from New York City. The Lower East Side of Manhattan.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Nice. How are you liking Cali?
I love Cali. So far, Cali's been nothing but good to me. The weather's beautiful. Everything is seeming to really click together. It's a different vibe out here. I've been living in New York my whole life, so to actually have that transition to move from one coast to the other, and I moved out here by myself, strictly for work. So I was blessed with the opportunity to get the chance to move out here and perfect my craft. So it was a big step for me, but I feel like I'm getting acclimated to the environment and just really loving the whole style on the West Coast and enjoying my stay here, definitely.
That's what's up. That is a huge move. You went from coast to the other side of the coast. And the music, kind of give me some background on that. Have you always been into this? You're actually very serious, and if you're moving that far away to get into, more into your craft. But tell us a little bit about growing up and what you wanted to be when you were younger. Did you always know you wanted to be in music? But give us a little background on your childhood.
That's a funny story, actually. Growing up, I think paleontology, pretty random. I was always like a geek kid. I was an only child. So my parents raised me to be like this. They tried to, raise me to be like this scholar and gentleman, which kind of rubbed off. But, being from born where I was from and raised where I was raised, the Lower East Side of Manhattan, it's definitely a jungle of its own. So I went from being the science kid to just being like, that kid that, music was always in the environment. I grew up in the era of the Rough Riders, Jay-Z, the Hard Knock Life era, the whole, like, backstage era kind of, so to see a lot of when rap actually took form into, what it evolved into today, I pretty much just grew around that, went to summer camp in the hood and, just really grew up around what you literally see is depicted as New York, the gritty streets, the rats, the roaches, but I'm definitely privileged to, have had the, I have great parents that have just made sure I've stayed on the right track, which was, I'm sure it wasn't easy for them. But, I think I got into music actually in my high school. We had a studio, in my high school, and it was crazy because they didn't have a gym. So instead of physical, what is it called? PE, physical education. We had studio time. So I was always into music. Yeah, it was really cool. My I was raised in a musical household. My mother, she was always singing, and my father, every time I come home from school, the radio was always blasting. They're really old school, so I grew up on the Marvins. I grew up on the Beatles, a little bit of Southside. I'm Puerto Rican. So it was great, I think they did a good job mixing it up and to what I came out to be now. So, I'm content.
No, they definitely did an awesome job, wonderful job. So what was the reaction? So you guys had studio time, so was everybody kind of talented, or how, what was the reaction for you?
No, you know what? It's funny. It's funny because I had my math teacher was also my studio, my music teacher. Shout out to Jerry Mavick. I know, I mean, he's, you know, I don't know if he's listening now. I sent him out a text to tune in. But if it wasn't for him, honestly, like, he I guess he's seen something. I didn't really take music too seriously. I made beats for fun in high school. I guess he's seen potential. And, you know, he was a old, bald-head white dude, you know, that he was super funky, and he was born and raised in Detroit. So, you know, he had his own kind of opinion and twist on a lot of, you know, musical history, and we bonded more of the actual history aspect. And then once we got into the techniques of producing and using microphones, you know, I started to realize I became more and more studio savvy, until I just started creating my own product. And then straight out of high school, I went for an internship, and I met this lady by the name of Yolanda Gerald, who is currently one of my managers. And she was at Atlantic at the time, and she stuck me in a studio named Heavy Rock Music. It's downtown Manhattan, where I was an intern, and I then became the engineer there for 5 years. And after that, you know, it was pretty much a wrap, you know, being blessed with the privilege to have worked with a lot of industry people behind the boards, being the engineer. You know, I got to see how a lot of stuff was done and really just kind of put my own spin to things for my own benefit, you know, for my own music. So, and it worked out really well. And, you know, 5 years later, 5-6 years later, I'm here. So I'm really excited about that.
That's an amazing story. This is the first I've heard of anybody kind of breaking into it like that, especially growing up on the scholar side and, like you said, the books, rather. Wow, that's really interesting, and I'm just that's very impressive. So what do you find now that you're on the forefront as one of the most difficult challenges as far as being an artist versus making beats and kind of being an engineer?
Oh, you know, it's really crazy. I mean, even right now, like, my hands are dripping sweat. I'm not going to lie to you. I'd be lying if I told you I was cool as a whistle. But, you know, it's one of these things, like, I guess, you know, I've always been that guy to be the goofy, fooling around, kind of nerdy. You know, I would always be the one just to make everybody laugh in the crowd, so amongst friends or whatever. And you know, me never realizing it, I guess I had it, you know, a little bit in me this entire time. And like I said, growing up, my mother's, she's out of her mind. She's an amazing person. And, you know, I guess the craziness kind of rubs off on me a little bit. And, you know, my dad's a real serious person, so that's like more of the technical side where that comes from. So when I started to record my own music, I did it like real late night, like 3-4 in the morning in the studio when nobody was there. And I was just making them for myself. And, you know, I never really had intentions of, you know, like shopping anything of my own stuff to a label. I just wanted to produce, and I got actually attached to really making my own music, and you know, it was the only challenge left is honestly, like, I just have to learn how to really be comfortable in front of an audience and people. And but in a weird way, I think it's kind of cool because I really feel like the audience that I'm, you know, that'll see me and listen to me will also see me grow, and I think that's a real crucial thing. So you'll definitely, you know, this is Chris P now, and I might be a totally different person in the next year or so, because of being acclimated to being in the forefront. Right now, it's still a little nerve-wracking for me. I've never performed, so it's one of those things. Like, you know, if you put me on a stage, I'll probably freeze a little bit. You know, maybe once or twice. But I think, you know, I think now working with the people that I work with now and just being around the people that I'm with now, like, I'm really truly blessed. And, you know, my management is amazing. The label I'm under is really awesome. And, you know, even the guys back home, I'm also part of this duo called One Room back home. Me and my good boy Sam.
Yes, I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, one room is really what started everything. One room is awesome. It was one of these things where, you know, both me and my partner we just started making music and with no really intentions of really putting it out on a major scale or anything like that. And we had put this one song out called I Want You, and we had like 30,000 views in the first month. And that was with like no marketing, no nothing. Like we just put the song out. We didn't even put our faces attached to it, no name. It was just like One Room, I Want You, into the public. And next thing you know, we start getting calls from magazines. We get calls from like bloggers and you know, I mean, honestly, that's how the label that I'm under right now found me. They found me through One Room. And you know, my partner, he also has his solo stuff. So, you know, it's nothing like I'm not part of One Room anymore. Although, you know, matter of fact, we still got a ton of music to really put out, and Sam has his own music and I have my own music now. So it's just really, I guess, like they say, when it's your turn, it's your turn. So I'm just riding the waves out right now.
Absolutely. So do you write your own material and produce your own material? Or are you working with anybody else right now as far as your project?
I mean, I have no problem working with people. I love collaborating. But being an only child, I've just developed that whole thing where I never wanted to wait for people to make beats, and I never wanted to wait for people to have to record me. So I learned how to engineer. I never really went to school for it. And I learned how to produce, you know, just out of being, like I said, coming out of a musical household. So many genres was played in my house all day. And, you know, it was just being, you know, in that environment 24/7, literally, you know, just kind of rubs off on you. So, and, you know, like I said, me being that loner kind of only child, I just stood home all day and just kind of perfected it, and until it was to a point where people could really listen to it and enjoy it. And, you know, some of my friends were like, yo, you really got a lot of, you got some stuff, you know? And I was just like, I mean, I guess. Like, literally, if they're listening right now, that I guess, like, they would totally know that. Because, I mean, I still haven't reached that point where I'm really satisfied in myself as an artist or as a producer.
Right.
But, for the most part, yeah, I produce, you know, Telepathic. I wrote that myself. I produced that myself. I engineered it myself. I was running back and forth between the booth all night. And then the guitar solo is a great friend of mine that I met in Grammy Camp. I went to this thing called Grammy Camp in 2007. It was like it's kind of like a band camp by the Grammys. So it's kind of that funny story where I'm like, one year in band camp. It's a real weird thing, I guess, to even say that I had that experience. But I mean, I've met friends that I keep in contact with on a regular basis. Actually, one of them just left my house yesterday. He came out. It's crazy. We met in L.A. and then 5 years later, we're back in L.A. doing road trips, bugging out, going crazy, making music. You know, and it's just it's almost surreal when you look at it. I still have, there's a couple things on the project that I didn't produce, working with some cool producers. A lot of them are really just close friends of mine that just happen to be in the industry. And, you know, it's just, like I said, it's just a blessing all around. Being an engineer, I got to meet so many people through the years and develop so many great relationships with people personally that, you know, it's that much better for me. So if I need a beat from X, Y, and Z, I can get that without a problem. Or if I want to work with, you know, this person or that person, you know, I probably engineer them if I'm even thinking about them to work with. So it's just like a matter of like a phone call or something. So, like I said, to have those relationships, yeah, it's really weird. And, you know, a lot of these artists had no idea that I even produced or wrote or was an artist. So when they heard my stuff, they were like, are you kidding me? And they were like, you're hiding this? And I'm like, I guess, you know, like, I don't know.
Yeah, because it's just like one more thing to add to the resume. That's really, really dope. And the thing that a lot of artists need to get familiar with and realize is the fact that those relationships and building and that networking, it does come into play at a later date. And for you, as an artist now, that's starting to pay off. So that's just awesome. And even running into your like you said, someone that you met at the band camp. So that's just crazy and a good look. What do you think it is about you that's going to stand out above the rest as far as the Omarions and the Marios and the other R&B singers.
Oh,
how
man.
Do you think the fans are going to gravitate towards?
You know, it's so weird that I'm even considered an R&B singer, honestly. It's funny to hear that. My mom laughs at me, actually. You know, she'll be like, she thinks it's a joke. And it's that moment where, like, no matter how, like, proud or, like, how much people respect you for your craft, like, my mom will be like, she'll just laugh at me and think I'm insane for doing what I'm doing. But, you know, shout out to Omarion, shout out to Mario. I know them both. You know, I've had the opportunity to meet them both, and they're both great dudes. Omarion and I have the same manager, so, you know, it's kind of, you know, family, I guess, almost. But they're great guys, and I don't really, I mean, I rap myself. I actually originally started off rapping, and I started singing to make references for my songs to shop to other labels. And, you know, people would just be like, you know, you don't have to use this as a reference. You could use this for yourself. And I'd be like, nah, it's cool. You know, I want this person to sing it. That person to sing it. And then there was a certain records like Telepathic and like a couple other records that'll be released soon that I just, you know, those records that you just got to keep in, put them in a different folder and keep them for yourself. You know, they're a little special. And, you know, it's really just music. Like, I don't even know what box to put myself in, because I mean, I have songs where it has like an alternative feel, and like I said, I mean, I rap too, so you'll hear a lot more rapping, especially in the one room material. You hear the rapping a lot more than you would on my solo project. My solo stuff's a lot more singing, but there's a lot of rapping too. I have the projects is really crazy, and it's something that I never thought that I would be able to develop. And I'm actually very proud of myself at this point. And you know, to see where I've gotten, and just to have the opportunity to have music be my full time job.
Absolutely, that's amazing. And just again, meeting people and establishing those networks, and just the professionalism, you're definitely going to go quite far. Tell us a little bit about. I heard that you got a little push from a legend, Earth, Wind, and Fire. Tell us about that.
Oh, man, yeah. Shout out to Philip Bailey, man. I actually missed it. My phone with his, like, contacts, like, completely, it fell off a roller coaster in Florida and broke. It was really random.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah,
you know,
that is random.
Yeah, it was bad. It's crazy because I seen the phone falling when we hit the loop, and I thought it was somebody, so I'm laughing. I'm like, oh, they're tight. And then I realized it was my phone. I was super tight.
Oh,
but,
my God. Were you sick?
Yeah, I was a little sick. It was a little sick, you know, and then they had to, like, stop the ride and get the phone, and they gave it to me in, like, four pieces. It was terrible. My father thought it was amazing. He's like, that's what you get for always being on your phone.
Right.
So, thanks, Dad.
Right.
But, you know, it was cool to me because we met him at Grammy Camp at that, you know, the thing that I was telling you about that I went to in 07. Earth, Wind & Fire were one of the special guests, and I had the opportunity to perform one of the first songs that I had produced and written for Philip Bailey. He was teaching our class that day, and I had sampled Marvin Gaye's Sexual Healing. Marvin Gaye is one of my favorite artists of all time.
Yes,
so
yes,
the first beat I made. I definitely sampled Sexual Hit, and then I wrote a rap verse. So I remember playing it, and I actually had the same feeling I do now, you know, as far as like the nerves and the butterflies than I do, you know, than I did then. And I spit it for him, and we did it in front of class. It was kind of like a project. Like, he was our teacher, and we just had to like recite our homework, you know. And then he like got up and like gave me a hug. And like a pound, and he whispered in my ear. He was like, "If you're not signed or doing something in the next 5 years, I'm gonna kick your ass," like just like that, like those exact words. And I was like, "Oh, that's cool," you know.
Right.
And ironically, honestly, this summer is the fifth year, and I signed last month to Indie Pop Records, which is like Dev and the Cataracts and Young L and. This girl named Yuna, a really great cast of people, and my management is, you know, they have they manage Omarion and Janae Aiko. So to be in this circle of people that I've listened to and that I've grown up, you know, seeing and hearing just really genuinely being fans, and now we're, you know, we're colleagues or whatever the case may be. It's just, it's really crazy. And you know, I was talking to my manager Yolanda about it, you know, and just how weird it is about the Philip Bailey situation. And I'd love to just like have the opportunity one day to be like, hey man, like I signed on the fifth year. You don't have to kick my ass. But you know, it is what it is. I just think that's really crazy that he said that. And you know, this year is the year that everything's really happening for me. You know, because I was an engineer, and between that whole time, and you know, I was also a regular New York kid. I was a doorman during the summer. You know, when the studio didn't have enough, you know, studio time. I was a janitor. You know, definitely blue collar to the core. I come from a crazy hardworking family, so you know, I was always hustling and just really trying to keep busy and stay on my toes. So to, you know, to be here in LA and just to be like, you know, I have nothing else to do but make music from the moment I get up to the moment I fall asleep. I mean, it's a dream when you really look at it. You know, we all have our good days and we have our bad days, but it's definitely a dream for sure.
It most certainly is. And It's I'm very inspired to hear you talk and tell your stories and tell your pathways and where you've traveled and who you've met. You're very modest and you've done a lot. So I just want to let you know you've done a lot.
It.
You have enough. You've earned your interviews. You've earned all of this. So embrace it and continue it. And I'm very excited for you. And I did hear the single and actually saw the video. And I was like, okay. That's when me and Chris got it talking. Of course, we're close and all connected with her through the show. But very impressed. We don't say that all the time. Very unique style. It was well-written, well-structured. So, and I'm actually a singer-songwriter myself. Golden, our co-host, does production. And then Tyrone has a magazine. I'm sure he'll be mentioning that to you when he comes back on the line.
Oh, that's
awesome. He has a magazine and does some rapping as well. So we all... We feel you, and we understand the work ethic and the networks and relationships, and just keep going and keep going and wanting to do better. So, just hats off to you, because I'm very, very impressed, very intrigued.
Oh man,
very excited.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And you know, it's crazy because I had a good friend call me up the other day, and he was like, I'm really glad that I answered the phone, and I was like, hello, and he was like, yo, I'm really glad you didn't quit. And I was like,
yeah.
Thanks. Because I remember there was this one time, you know, I was just like, you know, I'm going to just take the full-time job and be a doorman and I'll be good and, you know, just have a steady income. And you know, there's nothing better than honestly doing what you love. And, you know, I'll tell anybody I'd rather be a broke musician than a rich guy in an office. Like I couldn't sit at an office desk. I'm ADD completely. So it's just like one of those things, like, you know, and it's crazy. Just, you know, like I said, I've had my bad days and I've had great days. And, overall, you know, this is what I've loved my whole life, without really intention of, you know, ever being in the forefront. So, to have this opportunity and to have a great, great, great team that really believes in what I do and really believes in the music that I make. And it's a blessing. It's a beautiful thing. I've never felt this way, you know. And, like, I never left the crib. So, you know, to leave the crib from now till for being in the house 23 years with mom and dad and then, you know, going out to LA for a week on some just to meet and shake some hands, and then, you know, my third day in LA, they're like, well, we want you to move back, you know, and really think about, you know, taking your career more seriously. You know, it was a really big shock, and I actually got depressed that day. I didn't even know what to think. It sounds like when somebody hands you your dream, you think you would like jump for joy, but it's like your mind rushes and you have so much other stuff that comes to your head, you know. And my whole life was on the East Coast, you know, my friends, my family, everybody. I moved out here. It's just me. You know, I had to start everything. You know, I have a cool set of friends I hang out with. You know, I just work, you know, just stay passionate and true to your craft. And, you know, for the people that hate and all that, you just kind of got to ignore that and just keep pushing and don't really let anything get in your way, because, I mean, I didn't, and I'm really glad that, that I didn't, because, you know, I am where I'm at, and I'm really proud of myself. And like I said, I'm not satisfied fully. I really want to be a person that perfects the music and wants to be respected for the craft. I know there's a lot of singer, rappers, you know, producers, you know, the game is flooded right now, but I'm blessed to have this opportunity to show you guys all three in one package, you know, and just keep it moving, just evolve. And, you know, Telepathic's about, the song itself is about, it's about a year old. So a lot of the new stuff that I'll be putting out very soon, you'll definitely hear the growth. And then once I start, you know, putting my face out there and doing shows, you know, I just want everybody to grow with me. And I think that intimate connection will really, you know, between me and my listeners will really allow me to just become that much better of a person and that much better of an artist and a producer and a writer, et cetera.
All right. Like I said, I'm definitely on board. And like I said, it's very inspiring. And we appreciate you being so open with us and humbled and just giving us a bare, you know, truth with it, saying your feelings and emotions and expressing all of that with us. That I really appreciate that. I really do. And I know that our listeners will as well. You definitely earned a fan in me. I just can appreciate someone, a hardworking person, great personality and talented. Nothing beats that. So, again, you definitely earned a fan.
And I
want to bring, not a problem. I want to bring the fellas on real quick because I know we're nearing some time. So I want to bring them on and see if they have any questions. Tyrone, Golden, anything for him before I get him to give us some more about the projects and his networks?
Well, yeah.
I just had a
Tyrone.
Go ahead, Tyrone, my
bad. Tyrone speaking. I'm at Brightwood ENT on Twitter. I'm sending you a tweet right now, as a matter of fact. Definitely get up with me. I'm sending you the Gmail address, you know, send me an email and we'll get right back with you about doing this feature for 24/7 magazine. I'm actually
okay. Awesome.
I'm real impressed with your honesty. You know, I feel like a lot of artists don't do that, and a lot of them have to put on a, you know, they have to, you know, put like a, you know how someone would put on a set of shades so that way. Right,
mm-hmm.
Right. And I feel like, you know, I'm always, when as far as the artists that I like, you know, I'm always looking for their perspective and how they feel about things coming from the heart rather than them being flashy or flaunting things of that nature. So, you know, I feel a real connect there, you know, and I want to make sure that I do what
that.
I do to help out.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. I really appreciate that.
All right, so tweet's coming right now.
Just,
get with us, and we'll get right to it.
Okay.
Just listening to it.
Yeah, we'll definitely keep in touch. You already know, like,
all
you
right.
know, and you guys are giving me this opportunity, and I'm honestly forever grateful for what you guys are doing right now. And, you know, if you ever need whatever, just hit me up. Don't be anything. Just it's all love. Like you said, we fam, so it's a great feeling to know that, you know, great people are just behind you and you know, it really humbles me and puts me in a great place to know that people of your caliber really respect what I'm doing and just really have that connection that I'm intending on having with my audience. So I really thank you for that.
No doubt.
I just got your tweet, by the way. So definitely, I'm gonna send you an email right back from my email account. I definitely just got that.
All right.
I'm sitting here by the computer with the sweaty hands. So we're good. Yeah, it's like I got the AC on, my backyard door's open on, and I'm sweating bullets right now. It's cool though. We're moving. We sailing smooth right now.
Yes, I love it. Golden, you had something for him.
Oh man, I just wanted to say that the dude is just so down to earth, man, and you can do nothing but want great things and root for a guy like this. I mean, from janitor to engineer to artist to, you know, that's just all the things that a person well-rounded in the industry you know, does. You know what I'm saying? I remember talking to one of our other guests about Michael McPherson, about being a street team guy, a guy putting up the posters on ladders, and now he's, you know, traveling the country with Kelly Rowland and things like that. So just shout out to you, man, for just being that blue-collar guy, working hard, recording yourself, engineering yourself, man. That those attributes are something that's going to go on to make you an excellent artist. And you could tell, you know, regardless of what, like you said, man, if you're making music and you're doing the thing that you love, you'd rather be doing that than be in some stuffy cubicle, you saying you got a job just because you had to have one. So I just admire how you came to be doing what you're doing right now. So keep it up, man. You got our support 150%, brother.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that so much. You have no idea right now how I feel. It's crazy.
Yeah, we are so excited. We, like Golden and Tyrone said, we don't run across this every day, and when we do, it's special for us as well. So we definitely will be keeping your music in the queue to play here and there as we have other artists coming up on the shows. And we want to keep us updated, keep us posted, email us, tweet us, anything
Almost
you
definitely.
Have. Yeah, we definitely want to be supporters. And, again, Golden has production, and Tyrone has the magazine. I mean, you know, we would love to continue this
relationship. Yeah, no, I mean, I'm all about collaboration, you know, regardless of, you know, me producing or writing myself, like, you know,
right.
I find joy in really just collaborating and making great music. You know, as long as everything's great, I'm cool. Like, I really just, I'm that go with the flow kind of guy. I really don't have too much to complain about. If I did, I would honestly be stupid. You know, I wake up every day, and that's a blessing enough. You know,
it is.
I have my moments. I'm an only child. I do have my moments, but I'm really blessed to actually have parents that have set me straight and, you know, put me in a place where, you know, they honestly, to for lack of better words, they don't really play that shit. So it was one of these things. Like, you know, I'm really grateful for that. You know, and they support what I do 100,000%. My, you know, they couldn't be any happier for me, and my whole family is really supportive. So that just makes me feel that much better. And, you know, my friends support me 1,000,000,000%. And you know, there's not a lot of people from the Lower East Side really doing, I guess, what some people consider power moves.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm just glad. I'm really glad to give. You know, I get texts from my friends like, yo, you really motivate me and stuff, and that honestly means a lot more to me than a check, to be honest. That's you know, words like that. You know, I got friends that graduated Ivy League, and they tell me, you know, like, honestly, like, you're really motivation for what I do, and you don't give up, and you just keep on, you know, spending 5 years every day in the studio. That's a long time, but it's been all worth it, you know. And it's been a great journey, and I hope you guys can, you know, and the world really can continue and follow me on this journey, and just growth and realness, and just sharing emotion, and just taking it to the next level. It's all about being real. I can't be anything else. I wish, honestly, sometimes I wish I could. I feel like I'm real vulnerable half the time, but I mean, it's cool. You know, like I said, I got a great team that makes sure I don't step on any nails, or, you know, so to speak. So, you know, we're moving.
You'll be
music
fine.
Coming soon. One room.
You'll be fine. You know, I'm gonna taken care of by the right people,
yes.
And just by you being that type of person, you know, and the industry, yeah, indeed, is full of sharks, you know what I'm saying, but, you know, somebody like you is going to attract the people that's supposed to be around you, you know what I'm saying, so I don't think that you'll have any problem. We definitely going to look forward to collaborating with you. I'm going to shoot you some music. I know you do production, but, you know, we shoot you some production.
No, absolutely. Shoot.
You know,
yeah, most definitely. I mean, I'm down for whatever, man. Like, we definitely got to – I'm always – like I said, this is my job now, so I'm in the studio all day. I'm sitting in front of my microphone right now on my computer, so – yeah, whenever, you know,
yeah, you
just let me know.
You did sound pretty professional.
Shout out to
LES, man. You know, I've always wanted the opportunity to say that. That feels really good to really just say that, you know, on a bigger scale. Like,
yeah.
You know, my homie.
Yeah, they really made a champion.
unfortunately, True Life from the LES, man, got into that.
True Life, yeah. He's from a hood. My parents were raised in that hood. Yeah. He's from Smith. My parents were born and raised in Smith.
Yeah.
I lived on Watershed. I still live right by the bridges. Yeah.
That's the homie. He was another young cat coming out of the Lower East Side. Unfortunately, he missed some criminal activity, and he's locked up. But, you know, he had the Jay-Z co-sign and everything. So
he was signed to the Rock. It's funny because being from LES, like, you know, people really look up to True Life. And you know, honestly, like, that whole thing that happened between him and you know, the... Rest in peace to ATL, man. Like, you know, I definitely know that, you know, that was the homie involved in the incident, and you know, he's no longer with us. But it's one of these things, like, you know, unfortunately, certain turns of events, and it actually that what happened with True and the Av and all that stuff has separated the Lower East Side substantially, and it's really sad to me because. It's such a small place, you know, and I live in the center from the other side to Smith, you know, from the Ave and Smith. I live right in the middle of that. So, you know, it's not, I was always a kid that was neutral with everybody because I was the engineer. So I engineered people from the Ave, I engineered people from Smith, you know, and it was just to be that neutral person and to see how they would react. And, you know, they still fight and they still fuss. And I really, one of my main goals through this music is to shine it. Really just unify the Lower East Side again and make it the powerful force that it once was, or that, you know, the potential it once had.
Because our generation is falling apart. Nah, that's real.
Appreciate
dope, man. And that was an unfortunate situation that went down between them sides. And, you know, keep working, man, and make that a goal too, man, because that was definitely an unfortunate recipe to the brother who, you know,
His name's Chris. You know, it's a reality check when something like that happens to you, you know, and he was I didn't know him personally, but he was great friends with a lot of people in my circle, and they had nothing bad to say about him, you know. So it's one of these things, like, you know, my boys back home, they just came from visiting me, they got his face on their wall, you know, on a t-shirt. So I mean, it's definitely one of those things that it's definitely affected. And, you know, for somebody, you know, like you to even bring that up and to know about it, you know, like, that means, you know, it's definitely something bigger than the Lower East Side, you know, and it has to do with hip hop, it has to do with music, and you know, I just really want, I feel like our generation, there's so much hate, and, like, I've never been the fighter. I've always been the lover. So it's one of these things, like, you know, nothing would make me feel better than to just have you know, the place be the Lower East Side again, as opposed to just being the light side and the dark side, you know.
No, I totally feel you, and it's so funny because, you know, I know where he's from. I know about the Lower East Side, but, you know, when I first met, you know, True, it was just basically through one of my homeboys. It was his cousin, and he was just so happy that, you know, his situation was changing and that he was going to be able to take care of family and go on to be this rapper that he had dreamed to be. Really cool cat, but at the same time, you know, you don't know what them hoods are dealing with. I don't know nothing about that. So when I heard the news, I was like, oh, wow, you know, this is horrible. And, you know, you giving me perspective on both sides right now, and it's like, damn, this is a real shame, man.
You know what I mean? Yeah, it is, you know, because both sides, they have great people. And honestly, before the incident even took place, you know, it was a little more unified, you know, and it's one of these things, like, you know, now if you have nothing to do with the situation, but you from a certain side, there's a problem. You know, you can't be in a certain place, or if you run into certain dudes and they know that you from, you know, XYZ, they'll run up on you and you ain't got nothing to do with nothing. You know, and it's really sad how this generation really turned out. So I'm hoping that, you know, the through the power, because they all do music, honestly. Everybody, there's a lot of talent in the Lower East Side, and there's not enough credit given there. So it's one of these things, like, you know, we're the opposite of Harlem, you know, like, Harlem's uptown, which is downtown, and you know, Harlem gets a ton of recognition, and shouts out to Harlem. I have a ton of friends over there, and, you know, when you think of Manhattan rappers, you think of Harlem automatically. But there's a lot of talent in Lower East Side, and I really hope the next few years people really start to take notice of that.
Yeah, well, man, you keep pushing, you'll be a force, man. So keep pushing, brother.
Indeed, and definitely put yourself out there, because that's what draws us in, and that's what feels us, like Tyrone said, felt connected. We all here on the show, when we talk about topics, we're like, gosh, is it just us or what? We feel lost sometimes. We feel like the oddballs because we are who we are, and we don't make excuses or, apologize
right.
for it. We just want to do the right thing and hustle and work hard as well. So you remind me of ourselves and how we interact
Good.
With one another and our views on the industry. So,
Thank you. And, that's exactly what I want. I just want people to realize that I'm just a regular kid out of LES that just has a passion and is not afraid to pursue it no matter what the future really may hold, you know. If the music thing don't work out, you know, I'll probably go back to engineering. You know, I'm on that Hakuna Matata plan right now. So, it's just... Like I said, it's a real blessing to have the opportunity to be in the forefront and to be a voice and to speak for not only myself but for people who have the same exact dream, whether it be music, whether it be engineering, whether it be paleontology, whether it be medical, law, anything. You know, it's just do it.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Chris P. Again, it was and I was going to ask you what 212 is, but is that an area code? That's what that 212
is the man, an area code, absolutely.
I got it right. Well, I just want to thank you so much for coming on tonight. We really enjoyed you. We look forward to speaking with you more next time you have a hit. What's old to you is new to us, but when you do have more material that you would like us to hear, we would love to have you on the show. Again, just awesome. We appreciate you. Very hardworking.
Almost definitely.
Humble.
I appreciate you.
thank you very much.
Thank you. And whenever you guys, you know, I'd love to be on the show again. There's nothing but love. I really, you guys made me feel great. And you know, I'm going to call her mom and tell her I did it. You know?
Oh, I'm so happy. See, I get emotional. You can't tell me that
because
I'll be like, oh, you guys.
It's cool. I'm a little emo myself. I'm a little emo too. It's cool. Don't worry about it. We're human.
Hugs all around. I love you guys tonight. Do you want to give out your networks for everybody that's listening?
No problem. The Twitter and the G14 account is both ChrisP212, CHRISP212, and the Instagram is CP212. Facebook / ChrisP, ChrisP. And then YouTube ChrisP or YouTube One Room, and you know, I just hope, you know, people enjoy the music.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to play it on the way out for everybody to get affiliated with it. Again, thank you so much for dropping by, and we will be catching up with you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me, and I hope to see y'all again. I'll talk to you soon again. Absolutely.
All right, bro.
No doubt.
All righty, guys, and I'll keep in contact. I got the emails and the networks, and we'll definitely keep in the loop off radio, and we'll take it a step further.
All right, that's the
bet.
Thank you.
Take care, my brother.
Most definitely. You too. Likewise, and you know, have a great evening.
You too.
Thank you.
He's a great dude, you guys. I'm so excited for him and happy. And like I said, I won't get mushy because y'all know I'll be emotional with it. But I'm honored that this was his first interview with us. However, we are running low on the time, and it was a great show. Shout out to the Kid Daytona for stopping through and the glue with the interview with that. Shout out to everybody that listened in tonight. Make sure you go to global14.com. This is the station via that network, Jermaine Dupri Social Network. Follow us at global14, at G14 Radio, at ONYX254. Passing the mic.
Glue. You know, that always happens, man. We gonna have to write that down so that crashed.
It'd be written down. It happens at the end all the time.
That's what
How
we
about
hope
you
love
it. Tyrone.
Yeah, buddy. Global 14 at Brightwood Entertainment and at Twitter, Brightwood ENT.
Yeah, let's add out to that, Crispy. And telepathic, and we are out.
Crispy.
Don't rush, sweetie. I know you're on your way. My room's to the right, walk into the left's the bed. Take your time, don't trip on them clothes you done took off. I can see it in your face you look on. I know what you're thinking, you know what I'm thinking. Girl, we ain't gotta keep it no secret. Thank you.
Out of the road.